The cool part about it is I think it gives you permission to stay. And what I mean by that is I think we very easily want to grow fast. Mm-hmm. And if you don't have something to put your feet down in or to anchor yourself in, then a lot of times we just say, we kind of have a prayer time where maybe the God reveals maybe a part of us that like isn't that awesome, or maybe needs some help or needs some growth, or maybe a part that he wants us to concentrate on that has nothing to do with us, but more like where he wants to take us. And we kind of feel like we got the picture and we go, okay, cool. And we literally forget about it by next week. Hey guys, welcome to the Real Life Podcast, where we talk about exactly that every single week. Real life, which means some episodes might be about a fight we just had, some episodes might be about potty training since we have two toddlers, and some might be about eschatological realism because I love thinking and talking about deep theological things. And maybe we'll talk about all three of those in one episode. But we hope the show feels like hanging out in our living room with us, drinking a cup of coffee as we discuss faith and family and culture and Jesus. Me and my lovely wife, Alyssa, are your hosts, and don't hesitate to hit us up or reach out on social media to say hi or comment on this week's episode. Enjoy. What's up, guys? I'm Jeff.
I'm Alyssa.
And welcome back to the Real Life Podcast, where we talk about faith, culture,
and answer your questions
that you guys send into us sometimes on Twitter and Instagram, and we try to think of them and then answer them. Today's episode, guys, is the final one of 2018. Well, I think so, unless we upload on December 31st, which I don't think we will. So, final one of 2018. How's it feel, babe?
Feels good.
Can I first say, let's just give the people a thanks, right? And here's why, guys. You guys have been so, so, so encouraging. And this is honestly, I wasn't planning on saying this because I want to get into our topic. But honestly, I just want to give a quick thanks thinking about this year. Oh, this is a perfect idea for our topic. Anyways. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you guys for letting us be in your ears right now. Or if you watch on Facebook and YouTube, letting us be in your eyeballs right now. That sounds weird, but it's true. Like it kind of goes in your eyeballs, not just on the surface, but in, you know, too much. Okay. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But no, thank you guys. Genuinely, we've been doing this podcast for like 4 years now, which I feel like it's cool. The podcasts are so trendy now. Cause we were like, we're grandpas. We've been doing this for a long time. But obviously you guys know we really tried to really step it up kind of in the earlier fall, like August, September with the Real Life rebrand, us trying to be a little more intentional with topics. And it's been really cool because your guys' feedback on that has been really encouraging. You know, it's really cool when you really like catch a fresh vision from, man, I was, you know, I want to take this different place, want to go a different direction, want to really be a little more serious and thoughtful and kind of give people a lot to think on during the week. And then people say it doesn't suck. So that's pretty sweet. I feel like that's cool. So thank you guys. Genuinely, really, really, really appreciate you guys. And really do, really, really do love this conversation we have. Okay. So we're going to talk about 2018. I think one of the biggest things people suck at the end of the year, can I say that? Is, or here's a better way to put it. We're really, 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 really good in America and in the West at the January 1st stuff. Like, let's make goals. Let's cast vision. Let's have dreams. Like we are the country of dreamers. Like literally our country and our ethos is built on dreams. Like it's built on like, you can create and do anything you want in your life. Yes, yes. That was a little Jerry Seinfeld. Like I like that. But we're not really good at reflecting, meaning like we're really good at starting and dreaming. I don't think we're really good at finishing and ending and reflecting, looking back. I think we're good at looking forward. We're not good at looking back. And so, yeah, that's all I got. No, I'm joking. I'm joking. Okay, so.
So the whole podcast is to.
Kind of look just, back.
Yeah, like talk about this last year for you guys to reflect on this last year. Because I think, I mean, I've talked about this a lot before, but it's easy to just run ahead for the next year with new visions. Or maybe this year was really hard and you just want to be done with it. And so you move forward. But when we reflect, then I think we can be surprised to really see like, oh, wow, like it wasn't so bad or. It was really hard, but look at the ways God showed up. Look at how he answered this prayer or met me in this place. Mm-hmm. Or it could be like, wow, I have a lot of growing to do, or I have things I need to repent of, or just seeing sweet moments, even if it was a hard year, like things to be thankful for. Totally. And I think this concept is so biblical throughout the whole Bible. The Lord, especially the Old Testament, maybe mostly the Old Testament, God continually says, remember, remember, remember. And I know he's talking about, you know, remember. Yeah, but he's telling the Israelites, remember what I've done. Remember who mm-hmm. I am. Don't forget. And I know it was more so for them to worship him and not worship these idols and to choose him. But man, like, I think it goes for us too. Remember God from 2018. What did he do? What did he speak to you? What areas do we need to repent of? What areas do we need to give thanks for? What areas do we need to praise him for? And I think it's so biblical to remember and give thanks. And when we remember, it's much easier to give thanks. I think that's the way we do give thanks.
Yep. Oh, preach, preach. Yeah, you give thanks by remembering, because that gives you things to actually give thanks for. And remember that when the scripture wants to say what the will of God is, it's not date this person, marry this person, go to this college, do this, move to this city. It literally is the will of God is that you be thankful. Mm-hmm. Like, guys, that's it. That's the focus and the core. It's very hard to be in a very bad mood when you are being thankful simultaneously. That is the core and center of joy, of anchoring, of shalom, of beauty, and of goodness, of thanking, being thankful every second of every day for what the Lord has done and how we breathe grace every moment we are alive. So remembering and reflecting. And notice, guys, every, like, God's obsessed with remembering. Like really try to get into God's, not his psyche. I'm not trying to say, like, think like God, but really try to understand that, like, it's very clear that God himself has a bent towards infusing humanity with, like, moments to remember. Every Jewish holiday is literally just about remembering, right? Like, it's about remembering what God has done and how good he is and what he did for his people. And then same thing once you get to the New Testament, Jesus himself, the biggest event in human history, the cross of Jesus and the resurrection, the cross where he actually died, he didn't get out the whiteboard and say, let's teach about it and make you go to seminary. He just said, here's some bread, here's some wine or grape juice, depending on your denomination, and remember. Literally, he says, every time you do this, remember me. Like, he's obsessed with remembering. God is obsessed with having us remember because it kind of fuses and bolsters and infuses our relationship with him. So that's what we want this episode to be on, guys. Just a hopeful little thought starter for you. We're going to give you some tools and tips and kind of ways that we try to close out our year that's been really, really helpful and beneficial as our family, as a married couple, as a family, but also to the single people listening. This is just for humans. So please know that a lot of stuff we're going to say is like family context, but almost all of it can literally be done individually in a context that is not married or as a family. And so the lens I think we'll talk about it through, guys, is we've started probably 4 years ago this thing called a family summit, and it was very small, very simple back then. I think it was just like, you know, let's have a date night and get out the journal. And then it's iterated a little bit to, like, let's go do a little stay at a hotel, a little bit longer. Let's end, like, with certain questions. And then this year it's even gotten bigger with some of the stuff I have planned for us. So I'm really, it's like, there's no pressure. There's no big thing. Just iterate, but just set aside time. That's one thing too, is you have to carve time to remember. Mm-hmm. That's a good way to put it. It's like, we're really bad at remembering and reflecting because we have zero time to remember and reflect, right? Or if we have time to remember and reflect, just get out the phone. Simple as that. Just delete every moment of reflection by scrolling, right?
Or I think in our hustle culture, it can be, okay, how can I better improve next year? Or goals I want to do, or visions I want to do, or how can I be a better person instead of remembering?
So we're going to kind of just go through, like, the bullets of, like, some things we do in our kind of family summit that's really helpful for us. And it is, ours is very much a look back and a look forward. Take all of it as individual stuff of, like, you can do some of it, little of it, you don't have to call it a summit. You can do this exercise, et cetera. So we started, is remembering is really important. Oh, let's start with one of the huge things and really cool things I think we've done. And we talked about this on the podcast like 3 years ago, and for the OG listeners, tweet us or DM us. Let us know if you've been listening since then. And let us know if you remember this episode. We talked about, like, our word for the year and how we would kind of set words for the year. And I think a word or phrase or thought for the year and seeking that out at the feet of Jesus for yourself or for your marriage and family is one of the easiest, non-burdensome, non-pressureful, but also most helpful things you can do to kind of, like, remember a year, but also set a precedent and a path for you the next year. So now that we're at the end of the year, I think it'd be really cool to just reflect briefly on what our words and phrases were for 2018 and how that played out and what that meant to us and how we held on to that when we needed it, and what the Lord did in that, et cetera. And maybe start with the process of what that looked like, seeking that out first, and then talk about what the year, how that fulfilled itself.
Are you asking me? Oh, okay. Well, my mentor friend who I've talked about a lot, Robin, she always talked about getting a word for the year. And a lot of women online do this now.
Ooh, is that a little slight, like, I've been doing this for a long time?
No, I just have noticed a lot of women do it. And so I'm sure this is probably not new news for most of you. But just asking the Lord, you know, as you're entering to 2019 at the end of this, the next couple weeks, God, do you have a word for me this next year? Do you have a verse for me? Do you have, like, what do you want me to learn or grow in this year? And sometimes he'll tell you right away, and sometimes it takes a month, maybe 2 months, until something keeps repeating itself and you're like, oh, this is what he wants for me this year. And a couple years ago, it was the Matthew 11:28 verse about, like, are you weary? Are you burdened? Come to me. I will show you
rest.
And
my yoke is easy.
Thank you.
My burden is light.
That was a couple years ago. So that was really sweet. And then this last year, it was kind of hard for me because it wasn't like a specific thing. And so even saying it feels a little like ambiguous or something. But it was basically the idea that God had a beautiful story. That was my phrase. And I knew that he wanted to grow me in faith. And so it kind of went together like, Alyssa, have faith. I'm writing a beautiful story for you. And it was such a beautiful thing because this last year, I won't go into a lot of details, but just a lot of things where I really had to trust the Lord with my pregnancy, with Lucy, with family now, and with just a lot of insecurities. And I feel like a lot of
life, friends, leadership.
No, what do you call? Oh my gosh, my brain is just shot right now. A lot of enemy attacks. What do you call it?
What depression, enemy attacks, trials.
Anyway, sorry guys, my brain.
The flaming darts of the evil one.
Yes.
Is that Ephesians?
With Finding Freedom coming out this last year, there was just a lot of lies. Spiritual attacks. That the enemy really threw at me. And so anyway, there's just a lot of things. And I, it's funny because when you're so set, like, okay, God, this is what you're going to grow me in. This is what word you have for me. And then as you start living your life and going through things, it was just so easy for me to forget what God had spoken to me. And so throughout the year, multiple times I had to go back and remember, oh, God wants to grow me in faith. He's growing me in faith and trusting him and trusting his word and fighting these lies and believing that God is writing a good story through so much anxiety and worries and bad news with a lot of health things. And it was funny, once Lucy was born, I was like, which November, I was like, oh, okay, thanks God for teaching me that. That was a really great, thank you for that word, for that like banner for my year. And then we got hit with something else at the end of November. And I'm like, oh, the Lord is still, this is still his phrase and banner over this year for me. And believing that God is writing a beautiful story, even when things are really hard. And so I just, it was different because the first year I felt like I really wrestled through that verse and the Lord really like showed me a lot of things. And this year it was almost like a banner for my year, like a protection and a comfort to believe him when things were really hard or scary. And so anyway, it's just so sweet, I think, when we press into this and we really ask the Lord for a word, because he does give it. He's given us his spirit. The spirit talks to us, and you know, he shows up in different ways because we all have different love languages, and whether it's through scripture or a song or somebody saying something, he does have a word for us each year. And so I just, my encouragement is for you guys to press into that, even if you've never done that before, and really ask him. And I think you'll be amazed at the sweetness of God when we ask him that.
Yeah, guys. And I think, and I'll tell you mine in a sec too. And I loved what Alyssa shared right there, because it's really cool, especially then too, also as a married couple, when you kind of know what you feel like is the encapsulating theme of a person's season. Mm-hmm. And so that you can kind of encourage them, help them, remind them, mm-hmm. and vice versa. And that's been really helpful in our marriage of like, oh, I know this is what the Lord's teaching Alyssa. And so I can help her with that, or encourage her with that, or be praying for her with that, talk about that. And so I think, like, I don't think God gives words in the sense of like, of he, you know, I don't think God works in the way of like he mathematically wants you to perfectly concentrate on this one theme from January 1st to December 31st. And come that moment, it's done and you're finished and you're holy. But I think it's extremely clear.
Almost, I almost feel like the word like continues
forever. You almost kind of compound other ones.
But this is what we're focusing on. And then as I go through the year, I'm like, I'm remembering.
Yes. It almost it's almost more like they all compound upon each other. So like you get more words, more focuses. But what I do think is it's ridiculously clear in scripture that God works in seasons. God is a seasonal God. The world that he created full of shalom and beauty, even before the curse and after the curse, is a seasonal cosmos and world. Like he works in seasons. It's how it works. That's how the scriptures work. That's how we see the narrative of God. He works in time. He works in moments. He works in special acts of the play at different points here than he does here, etc. So it's clear. So seasons is kind of a very similar way than like the year of like to try to find your a word or an anchor point or something you can put your feet down in for your season right now, and believe in that and live in that. And I think a lot of times the cool thing about the word or the thought or phrase or the picture God gives you, because he does, I do believe that in your own way, and there's no pressure here, no burden. It's like in your own way, how he's created you. The cool part about it is I think it gives you permission to stay. And what I mean by that is I think we very easily want to grow fast. Mm-hmm. And if you don't have something to put your feet down in or to anchor yourself in, then a lot of times we just say, we kind of have a prayer time where maybe the God reveals maybe a part of us that like isn't that awesome, or maybe needs some help or needs some growth, or maybe a part that he wants us to concentrate on that has nothing to do with us, but more like where he wants to take us. And we kind of feel like we got the picture and we go, okay, cool. And we literally forget about it by next week.
Right.
Like, it's kind of like, yeah, like I did it. Like he told me that and like kind of check the box done. Right. Mm-hmm. When I think kind of realizing, I think it relieves a lot of pressure and stress too, by the way, but I also think it's more human and more holy and more natural, because that's how humans grow. We don't grow overnight. We grow like plants that like, if you stare at the growth every single day, you'll never see it. But if you come back a year later and look at the plant, it'll be taller. Mm-hmm. But it needs to be watered every single day. It needs to be watered every single day, but you can't actually see the growth until like see it through the seasons. But I think having a word or a phrase gives you permission to stay there. That's what I'm saying. Stay in that season. It gives you permission to like stay in that moment, stay in that area. So for me, mine was faithfulness. And I feel like that was pretty clearly seen, probably even by you guys online, honestly, of like, I feel like my focus and where the Lord wanted to take me this year was just like faithfulness and kind of just like living in holy joy of the boringness of life. Just like, I don't need to do something exciting. I don't need to do something new. I don't need to do something awesome. I don't need to do something that gets a lot of results. I just need to just do the work, right? Just do the work of marriage, do the work of loving my kids well, loving you well, do the work of writing books, you know, and writing 500 words a day, which sucks and gets monotonous. But then all of a sudden you wrote a book and you're like, this is awesome. Just do the work. Just be faithful. Just, it's the trudging one foot in front of the other. And that might sound kind of like, oh, that's really like, you know, unromantic or whatever that word phrase would be, like really like not that alluring, but that was actually what I needed to learn. Mm-hmm. Like that is very much in scripture and part of what it means to walk with the Lord. I think faithfulness is actually the goal, in my opinion, of walking with Jesus, not success or results. Mm-hmm. Like it's actually the process is more the journey and the goal than the like finish line. Because that's what relationships are like, right? Relationships aren't about something you check off. They're about someone that you walk alongside with. Mm-hmm. And so faithfulness was my word. And like I said, you guys probably even saw that online, because I feel like I shared a lot about it and stuff like that. So yeah, just be boring, be normal, be holy, be faithful, be consistent. And even with working out, like I wanted to get workout and get healthy this year as part of that faithfulness. Or it doesn't need to be something huge. I don't need to, you know, reel myself up for it and, you know, and make it all this big thing and commit to some crazy numbers. I just need to do it. And it was funny, as it took me till like November or whenever the last couple months of the year to finally do it. And like in a faithful way, where like, I just do it now. I consider myself someone who works out now and goes and back and being consistent after a decade of not. And it feels really good. But again, it was another notch on the belt of like, oh, I can be faithful. I can be faithful. I can do this. So that was my word. And so we're seeking out that's what we do on our summit, is we kind of reflect on the word. And it was cool, because I feel like this gave us a cool little starter. Ours will be in about a week. And then we will kind of try to seek a new one or a new phrase or a new picture or vision of where the Lord wants to take us. And it just gives you something to latch onto, because then if like a storm comes or something happens in the year, you go, oh, like I have reference points for this. This is what the Lord wants to do in me and through me and for us if you're married, et cetera. So that's kind of the word thing that we hope is a helpful thing. We encourage you to try it, walk through that. Another thing that's kind of in our thing that, let me see. Oh, one really fun exercise to do as a marriage, but also you can do this alone or even do it with a friend or even do it with a parent, just like anyone who kind of knows you and you're in life with. And that is to recap like your story of 2018 in just like 5 minutes. Like try to basically tell some, like try to think how you would tell your story. How would you tell your 2018 to someone if you had like 3 minutes and you had 5 minutes? What would be the flashpoints? And we don't always all just share the good spots, right? Like I think a lot of times, even for me, I immediately think of the harder ones of like, this is what kind of defined the year. And not maybe even harder in a super bad way, just harder in like a, oh, that was hard, but the Lord got us through and praise the Lord. What, you know, bunch of different ways to talk about it. But that's one really fun exercise is to try to tell your story in a brief enough way where you have to leave stuff out so that you can kind of know what like the summary and the highlight of it was in a good or bad way. Like in a, like when I say highlight, I don't mean doesn't include bad. And then what's fun, especially if you're married, or like I said, if you do this with a parent or someone who knows you and walks with you or a friend, a roommate, is if you walk close enough with someone that where you guys' stories are close enough and they overlap, and marriage is obviously, you can see this the most, tell each other those stories. And then actually it's really fun to be like, oh, we just told a very different story. Mm. Right? Right? Yeah. Like, or not like we told a different one or like a disagreeing one, but like, I know what, and this is what I want to do with you when we, and I have it on our summit, is like, I know my 5 minute story will almost not even have 5 seconds. That's the same as yours, you know, maybe. Right. And I think that's really cool and fun, or just like a kind of little sociological experiment of like, oh, like, why is that? Like what, why was this kind of what defined your year? And why was this kind of what defined my year? Mm. And how was this kind of how we interpreted it, how we saw it? So that's just pure surface level. Don't get all, you know, Sigmund Freud on them and overread that, but it's just like kind of fun to be like, oh, that's interesting, right? Of like, we didn't tell the exact same one. And then one question that's really helpful then once you do that, which I think is more where you should spend some time on reflecting, is would you say, generally speaking, that the story that you told in 2018, or kind of your version of the story you just told about how your year was, is that the story you're glad you lived in 2018? Mm. Right? Like, is that the story you wanted to tell? Mm. If you could have gone back to 2017 December, would that have, the story you just said, would it have been the one you would have written for yourself? Maybe not. But a second question is it the one you wanted to, or now that you have written it, you're glad you did? Mm. I think those are really interesting questions, right?
Yeah. I do want to just, what's the word?
Uh-oh, you're about to keep me accountable, church discipline, clarify. What did I do wrong? Just call it
out.
No,
I just think, I think most of the time the story is not what we would have written for ourselves. Yeah. Sometimes it's a lot better than we would have ever written. I feel like probably most years there's harder things in it that we wish our lives were different or just turned out differently. So I think then what Jeff is saying with that question is, how did you respond to the story God wrote for you? Were you thankful? Were you faithful? Were you relying on him? Did you grow or did you become more bitter? Are there areas to like grow from or learn from? Or like, how did you respond to the story God told that wrote for you? Yeah. I think that's it. Because most of the time it probably, I think a lot of people feel like, oh, I wish, I don't know how to say it, but even if they have a great, on paper, everything is what they ever hoped for. Life is still hard and there's still sin and there's still hurt and there's still grieving. And so I think it's like, how did you respond? Can I say that?
Yeah, that's okay. A really good point or really good clarification. And that gets into like another thing we do that is kind of like an easy exercise that I have for us next week when we do this. It's funny, this podcast is probably actually going to come out within a day or two, I think, of when we kind of will have our summit marked off for December on our calendar. And so I can probably share some more there, and I'll finish kind of this PDF and just kind of Google Doc that'll hopefully guide us through. But another thing we do is kind of a quick, like, celebrate the wins, celebrate the losses. I think a lot of times we don't celebrate wins. Mm-hmm. Like, man, just celebrate the wins. Like, where, what, it, you know, like, can your kid actually poop in a toilet now? Celebrate the win, right? Did you get something new and cool? Celebrate that win. Like, did the Lord heal something? Celebrate the win. Did he answer a prayer? Celebrate the win. And I mean, really actually celebrate. Like if it's worthy of it, I think you should write all these down. I think you should actually make a list. It takes 5 minutes, honestly, mm-hmm. if you start just thinking back of like cool things that you can remember that the Lord did. And then actually celebrate it. Like if you have friends or a roommate or parents or a marriage or in fiance, whatever, like have a celebratory dinner for 2018. I can just tell stories about like the wins. Like, what did the Lord do? How awesome is he? Where did he move? What's a cool, like, and you can be like, it can be totally like non-spiritual, right? Like, what's a cool, like little fancy toy you got that you love? And what, you know, and do you love how your grass looks now when you mow it? I don't know, right? Like, I like that stuff. So that would be a win I'd celebrate. So celebrate the wins. That's a big one. And kind of reflect on them, but actually do a celebrating moment. I think a meal, actually have a meal where you celebrate those moments, I think is really cool. And talk about, yeah, favorite memories, favorite moments. And then the reverse side of that, celebrate the losses. Or not celebrate the losses, reflect on the losses, right? Like actually think about them. Don't try to just sweep them under a rug. Don't try to not think about them. Don't try to stuff them. Actually look at them in a really healthy, mature way of like, man, where were the losses mm-hmm. this year? Or where were the difficulties? Where were the speed bumps? Where were the hard parts? And here's some questions I have like in our PDF that kind of help you kind of facilitate that. It's what would you say was the hardest moment last year and why? Have you learned anything or did that moment change you in any way? Where do you feel like God showed up the biggest last year in something hard? Is there any patterns you notice in regards to difficulty? Like, was there any places God was teaching you or nudging you along in some area of growth? This one's a marriage question, but what is one area in your spouse that you actually saw the most growth and are proud of them? So that it would actually be celebrating a win, but having to do with a hard thing. What's something new you did or implemented that seemed to work and you are glad you did? So like it was hard work, but again, that's another win to celebrate. And what did you do this year that'll benefit you 50 years from now? I think that's a really fun question. And so yeah, the wins and the losses and like actually talk about those, I think is really, really, really important. And so yeah, do you have anything else you'd add to those real quick before I move on? Mm-mm. Nope. Okay. Well, no. Sweet. Okay. And then another thing we kind of do, guys, is, I mean, shoot, guys, like the summit I have right now is like I like talking about kind of everything, and sometimes it's only 5 minutes, right? So like talk about finances for 2018, talk about travel, walk with the Lord individually. I think that's another one too that we talked about, but even go deeper there with those wins of like really try to reflect on how the Lord and yours relationship was.
Yeah.
Rate it, think about it. What can you improve on? What did you really feel like you grew in? What did you talk to him about most? Yeah, we have like, you know, a section for kids and work. And then I think a section of favorites is really fun. So like I put down for us, these are more like rapid fire. Favorite memory from the year, favorite date from the year, favorite moment with the kids, favorite movie we watched, favorite meal, favorite moment with friends, favorite new thing we started. Mm. Those are fun. And then I was going to put favorite book you read. And then one other thing we really concentrate on, guys, is, and this is kind of maybe what we can end on. And we've talked about this for the last couple of years, but and this really does come down to semantics. So if you're a goal person and it works for you, just do your thing. Just do your thing. Crush it. You dominate. But for us, we kind of have tossed that phrase goals out the window in general and for the most part. Like, I just don't really care for it anymore. I don't love the culture of goal setting. I don't love to, it's kind of like that life hacking episode we did a couple months ago. I'm of the belief that just like, why are we not just like superhuman yet if our goals and our tips and our tricks are that awesome? You know what I mean? Like, and I feel like we're actually like worse, you know, like humanity is not doing too awesome right now. So like we kind of threw that out and here's why though, because I think goals actually have to do with a finish line, right? They have to do with a finish line and an end result. When I prefer the phrase that we kind of exchange for is like formations or rhythms. And James Clear, who I had on the podcast, a non-Christian a couple of weeks ago, he uses kind of similar language, but I think he uses the language of goals versus systems or goals versus processes. And it's similar, but I think there is a level of spiritual formation that has a truth to it and rhythms. And what I mean by that is like, we really reflect and we really try to really reflect on the year of, okay, what rhythms did we institute that were really helpful or beneficial, or how's the health of our rhythms and formations doing? Mm-hmm. And what those are things you come back, like, goals are like,
which I think is just as important for families as it is for single people.
Yeah, individuals, any age, any dynamic, mm-hmm. any household, yeah. any whatever.
Because I think we talk mostly about it with the family.
Totally.
But I think if I had known this concept when I was single, I would have been a much healthier single.
Totally.
Person.
Yeah, yeah. I think so. For us, we almost do like a rhythm or formation checkup. Like think a bit of almost like a medical checkup where we kind of just like take the signals and the impulse, the measurements and the check in on it. And, you know, I'm just like, how are they? Which ones need some iterating still? Mm-hmm. Which one needs some kind of updating? Which ones need some help? Whether that's daily, weekly, yearly. So like a family summit would be a rhythm of ours. Yearly one, some of the we started being probably more into the biblical holidays this last year. So that's a fun one we'll reflect on. Thus, you know, our family Sabbath, we've now been going on 3 or 4 years with that. So just chat about that. How can we make that better now that the kids are getting older? Daily habits with reading, benedictions, liturgies, all these things. So we kind of reflect on that. And I just think that's a really helpful, to me, that feels like it sets me up really well for 2019 because mm-hmm. I think I don't really feel pressure by him anymore because I just don't care about him anymore. But a couple of years ago, like I would just be like, I got to set goals and I got to have all these dreams. I just don't care. I'm just like, nah, I'm good. Like I'm good, right? I just want to keep doing the things I'm doing, knowing that those things actually make me into the person I want to be, not some arbitrary things I put on a checklist that I want to accomplish.
But I think too, in the past years, you've thought of new rhythms you wanted to add.
Totally.
Especially this last year.
Because it
so much.
Because it has to do with the person I want to be right, or the family exactly. I want to be or yeah. the marriage I want to be.
Yeah.
And so that's what it comes down to, guys, is goals have to do with doing, formations have to do with becoming.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're becoming the person you want to be, I believe then the natural out product of that is you'll reach your goals.
Mm-hmm.
Like I believe if you're like,
right.
do you know what I mean? Like I think it mm-hmm. kind of is a, you get one, you get number two by doing number one.
Right.
Just naturally. And so, yeah, I know it's a lot of that's just semantics, but I do agree. Like we do, I just noticed it takes a lot of pressure off us, a lot of burden off us.
Mm-hmm.
But also I feel like really bolsters us of like, these are, human life is a lot slower and sluggish and longer and repeatable and repetitive than we like to think it is. And so trying to escape all those things is not helpful. Trying to actually live in that with beauty and holiness and following the Lord is helpful.
Yeah.
And so we want to grab onto all that stuff and actually say, okay, how can we put processes and systems and rhythms and rituals and liturgies and formations in our life that make us the people we want to be?
Mm-hmm.
Because you can work backwards. Like the person you will be in 2 years is 100% because of your ritualistic behavior, not your goals.
Right.
Goals don't make you a person. They don't.
Right.
Right. Like James Clear has the brilliant, easy kind of hypothetical question of like, the winners and the losers of every single Olympics all have the same goal. Mm-hmm. So clearly that has nothing to do with like making you the person you want to be mm-hmm. or like or what you want to achieve. And the person you want to be comes down to actual like your daily practices.
Mm-hmm.
And so we try to really load and preload and dump a lot of religious, spiritual Jesus meaning into a lot of our practices. Cause I think those create and counterbalance, by the way, all the daily practices that culture kind of puts on us to make us the person we want to be.
Right.
So I don't mm-hmm. know, would you add anything to that or the summit or the reflection or the rhythms or everything?
No. I think this is really good. I will say Joanna Gaines and her journal for winter, she actually had a whole article on this type of thing, and it was with doing it with your girlfriends. And so I thought that would be so fun, especially, I mean, to do it with your family, to do it with your spouse, but especially if you're single or if you just want to have a girl's day, to get with your friends and you can do the same thing and just really reflect on this last year. And I think I think it's also really important to do it with somebody, not just to do it alone, yeah. journaling. I mean, do it alone, journaling, if that's how you process it, but then to talk to someone about it, because then I think it brings so much depth when you celebrate the wins, when you talk about accountability, when you talk about areas you want to grow or things that you wish you had done differently. I think it's really sweet when you do it with community. And so whether this looks like just you and your husband getting away or having a date night or doing it with your kids around the table or for a weekend or having like an actual girls event, I think this is a really important thing to do.
Totally. So guys, can't promise anything, but if it's helpful to you, I'm in the we're recording this a week or two before when it comes out. And when this comes out is within a day or two of when we're doing our family summit this year. And so I'll have like a more like bolstered kind of full, almost like step-by-step kind of guide that we'll kind of walk through for us for like a day or two mm-hmm. of reflection and stuff like that. And so I can't promise, but if it's decent enough looking and not just like terrible, then I'll probably try to share it with you guys on Instagram or something like that. If it's helpful, it might not be helpful to you. but use it as like a jumping off point. I wouldn't probably suggest, if you haven't done something like this, to just do the whole thing. I would just kind of just open it, read it, what sucks, write it off and say, yeah, Jeff doesn't know what he's talking about. What do I want to do? That's awesome. I'll do that. What doesn't apply to my life? Write that off. What applies to me? Like, just use it however you want, you know? And if that means using it for kindling on the fire, go ahead. Well, it's Google Docs, so, you know. You
can't. Oh, babe.
But
it's good.
But what I'm saying with that is, guys, I can't promise that it'll be all done by then or that I will share it, but I'll try to get it done just a little bit more polished, not just for us, but so that then you guys can, hopefully maybe it can be a helpful resource. So mm-hmm. that's just there. It's just like a jumping off point for some questions and some exercises and some things. I'm one of those guys where when I create stuff, it only makes sense to me. So I might have to put a couple of things. I'll have one for us, but I might have to make like a copy with like some notes of like, does it make sense? Like I write to myself and I do things to myself, like with my own language that like don't make sense to anyone but me. So I might have to clear that up first before I share it. Any final thoughts?
No, that's good.
Okay, guys, it's 8:30 here, which means it's midnight in our brains, because that's when we go to bed. We are old people. We love you guys.
Yes.
Follow us. Hit us up again on Jefferson Bethke or Alyssa Joy Bethke on Instagram to reflect and talk about what we talk about on the podcast. And then also our new venture, Family Teams, at Family Teams. We got some really big stuff coming very soon. I'm so stoked. So make sure you follow there so you can hear. And all right. Love you guys. Talk to you later.